Matthew chapter 13. And what we're doing this morning is we are continuing our series entitled Into the Deep. Amen. Practical lessons on how to deepen your relationship or your walk with God. Amen. So we want to go deeper with God this morning, and we actually want to go deeper with God throughout the remainder of this year and hopefully throughout the remainder of our lives. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, and I'll read to verse 23, this whole passage here, and see what God has to say to us. Matthew 13, verse 1 through 23. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Jesus liked getting into boats and preaching. Remember last week he did the same thing when he called the disciples. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold and some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And disciples came to him, saying, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing that they do not see, and hearing that they do not hear, nor do they understand, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing and seeing you will see and not perceive.' For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes are hard of hearing, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear." Verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bear fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Title of today's message is In Too Deep. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm in too deep." Try that again. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm in too deep. Amen. 3 points I want to make to you today. We want to talk about the sower, the seed, and the soil. Jesus said that the sower set out to scatter some seed. Who is the sower that he's speaking of? The sower is himself, God. Jesus is saying that God is trying to scatter seed amongst the nations. He's scattering seed, and he's scattering seed, guess what? All the time. God is always scattering his seed all the time. God never closes his mouth. He's always speaking. He's always scattering seed. Amen? In the parable, he said, the sower is him. Matthew 13 and 3, he said, he spoke many things in parables, saying, behold, a seer went out to sow. A sower is one who scatters seed, and he wants to spread the seed. Listen, God is the sower. The seed is his word. Amen? He said that Jesus was speaking in parables. What is a parable? A parable is simply a short narrative with a symbolic meaning. In other words, what God does, what Jesus does, what a preacher like myself likes to do, is I like to speak to people on their level. To speak to people in language that they can understand. Are you following me? And using symbolism that will help to illustrate the thought that's trying to be said. See, sometimes we get in church, Sister Angela, and we speak what's called Christianese. You understand? We say words that the normal average person don't understand what we're talking about. Are you following me? You know, and it depends on how you do that. See, sometimes you do that at work, and it depends on how you do it. If you're doing it intentionally, then maybe you're trying to spark a conversation. So when they ask you a question, they say, hey, how are you doing? And you say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Now, if you don't have any true intent to tell them how blessed you are and the reason why you're favored, then that might just blow over their heads. Like, why every time I ask her how she's doing, she comes with some royal response, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Baby, I just want to know how you're doing. See, but if we do that intentionally, we can say, I'm blessed and highly favored. That means I want you to ask me, what does that mean? What does that mean? You always say that. What did that mean? Well, this is what I mean. I'm blessed because I know Jesus Christ. He said that I'm highly favored. That means that I have unmerited favor, stuff that I couldn't earn. That means all the good stuff that happens in my life is not because anything that I've done, but it's because of everything that he did, and that makes me favored. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Now, you want to talk about it a little first? That's when you get to go in deep. But if you're just throwing those phrases out, then people are just like, what in the world are you saying? Oh, that's divine providence. What is that? Everything, you know, the stapler fall off the desk at work. Oh, that's divine intervention. No, that's a stapler that fell off the desk. Are you following me? So what Jesus liked to do, he liked to speak in ways that they would understand. Now, he's talking to a people who would understand what it means to scatter seed. What it would mean to plant seed, and how when you throw that seed out. See, right now is the time for us to fertilize our lawn, is it not? You know, the springtime is coming, so we're going to go out. I got this little device, this big green device. You pour a whole bunch of the seed on top, and then you can turn it and churn it around like that, and it sprays out all the seed and spreads it nice and evenly. Are you right? But what happens is some of it has overspray, so some of it lands on the concrete, some of it lands in the dirt, and then some of it lands where I actually wanted to land. So. But in this day, they didn't have that device. They just, you know, just scattered it with your hands, you know, old school style. You don't really need that little device. I just brought it, you know, it just looked cool, you know. I saw my neighbor with it, Jay Sean. I said, man, that's pretty cool. He just walking around and, you know, got a little strut with it. You can strut with it, everything, you know. That's cool, you know. But really, you don't really need that. All you had to do is get something in your hand and just scattered it around, right? So Jesus is saying the sower goes out and he's scattering seed. Some of it falls where he wants it to fall. Some of it lands on the concrete. And then he's going to tell us a little later about what that means. The parable has a symbolic meaning. It's a story of allegory. Amen? And you're supposed to read into it and see what is the symbolism. What is he really trying to say? See, he told these parables, there were two things that were going on. One was to reveal his word, and the other was to conceal his word. Say, Pastor Chuck, what do you mean? He was revealing it to some, but concealing it from others. He was kind of speaking to those who didn't understand, to those who didn't have their hearts right. You know, the Bible said that there was mixed multitudes. So that means with all kind of folks, some that actually wanted to hear, some was there for the filet of fish. You know, the fishes and the loaves. Some was just there to see what was going on. I heard they're giving out free stuff. Heard they got Easter baskets over there. Let me go check them out on Easter Sunday. Some folks just wanted to check, you know, they weren't there. But then there were others that were there to actually catch him in his words. And as you read through the Gospels, you see that often happened. But every time it happened, the Bible said that Jesus looked into their hearts. Every time they asked them a dumb question, well, if a woman has a husband and then she has another husband, what if she has seven husbands when she dies? Whose husband is she going to be when in heaven? Jesus shut them down right there. Man, what are you talking about? That's stupid. You understand? So he knew that there were mixed multitudes that were going. So to some, if you would hear the good news, to others who had their hearts turned away from God, who were already ready to reject him, it was a concealment of what God was trying to say. Are you following me? See, it was a matter of reception or rejection. As a minister of the gospel, I know that every time I step up to preach the word of God, and whenever you step up and to preach in a multitude of people, you know there are some who are going to hear it, and then there's some who are not. And there's going to be different levels of how people hear it or receive it. Some people are going to be there because they got a drug problem. Somebody drugged them to church this morning, so they just here because they got drugged out of bed, and you know. So some people, their heart's not really in it. We've had that several times. You can see they just sit there, arms folded in the back, like, whatever. I can't wait till this is over so I can get on out of here. But be careful, because the word of God is powerful. It might just pierce right through those folded arms and have you opened up and have you on the altar crying. And so you better watch out. That's what the word of God does, you know. But so there's always going to be a mixed multitude of people, and you never know where that seed is going to land. The seed is the word of God. Matthew 13:19, Jesus said, but anyone who hears the word of the kingdom, the seed is the word of God. God is always trying to plant his word in our hearts. He's always spreading his seed. It's not, see folks that say, well, I found God. And you know, you didn't find God. God wasn't lost. You were lost. You didn't find him. He found you. You were the one that were lost. So his seed was already, he was already been speaking to you. You just weren't listening. He spoke to you through your grandmother. He spoke to you through your mother, your father, your friend that invited you to church, to Sunday school, to the summer camp. He's been speaking all along. The question is, have you been hearing? Have you been listening for his voice? You understand what I'm saying? So God is always scattering seed. He's sending preachers and ministers all around you, and not all of them wear suits and ties. Not all of them are in pulpits. Are you following me? So he's sending his ministers, because we're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're ministering whether we like it or not. You don't get a choice. Once you accept this calling, you don't get a choice of whether you want to be a minister or not. The only thing you can do is choose what type of minister you want to be. Because you are the only Christ that some people will see. And if they know you're a Christian, they're watching your lifestyle, and your lifestyle is a ministry to them. You understand? Your lifestyle is a testimony of your relationship with Christ Jesus. So you have to be careful that you're walking the right way, that you're talking the right way, that you're doing the right things, because people are looking at your sermon. It's called your life. And how you lead your life could probably determine someone's destiny with Jesus Christ. Because they look at you and they say, man, is there something different about this person? If they say there's nothing different, that person is worse than me. Why would I want to follow their God if their guy ain't doing nothing for them? If it's not working for them, then it's definitely not going to work for me, so I'm just going to keep doing my thing and be happy about it. Are you following me? So God is always speaking. He's always talking. His word is always going forth. And the matter is, what matters is, are we listening or not? What is the soil? Listen, it's his word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 is there in your notes. You can turn or look there if you want in your Bibles to confirm that the notes are correct. But 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, all means? All scripture, all 66 books, every chapter, every letter, every punctuation, all scripture is given and is by inspiration of God. Theologians tell us that there's about 40 authors of the Bible. 66 books, about 40 different authors. Amen? These are the men that God used to transcribe his word. It's infallible. It's unquestionable. There are parts that may seem to contradict one another, but when you look at the whole picture of it, you'll see how they become to make sense. There are some parts that we simply will never, ever understand. There are some questions that will not ever be answered. So don't get upset and don't be moved by the fact that you don't know everything that the Bible has to say. Some folks ask really good questions about the Bible, and sometimes all you can say is, man, I really don't know. I really don't understand that. I really don't know what was meant by that, but I do know what I need to know. When it comes to the essentials of what you need to know, it's all there. And it's all there in plain black and white. It's very clear. What I need to know is this. I need to know that I'm a sinner. I need to know that. See, especially in today's age, folks don't even know that they're sinners anymore. Because they call sin righteousness now, and righteousness sin. And guess what? That's in the Word. He said they will call good evil and evil good. And that's confirmed in the Word. That in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves. Do men love themselves these days? Sure do. In more ways than one. Are you following me? Speaking to the pride of men, but what do they call it? Pride parade. Are you following me? So I tell you, folks, the problem is not homosexuality. The problem is pride. I'll say it again. It's not the homosexuality. It's not the homosexual act. The homosexual act is just as bad as the heterosexual act if you're not married. It's called fornication. They all come from the same. It's called fornication. The problem is the pride behind it. I've never seen an adulterer pride week. Let's have a liar's parade. You never get a bunch of men that cheated on their wives to have a parade down the street, call it the annual Adultery Pride Month. Hallelujah. Hello? Hallelujah. Is there any other sin that we celebrate? No. We don't celebrate any other sin, but that one got a whole month. We celebrate we're celebrating pride. It's pride. Right. Amen. The attraction is just the temptation, not the sin. Woo! Let me get back on point. It said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Oh, men wrote that. Yeah, men penned it, but it was God who wrote it. It was the men who grabbed the pen, but God was doing the writing, was doing the guiding, was inspiring what they were writing. Are you following me? And he chose to use what they were writing for our benefit. And look what he said, the word of God, what the seed does. It's profitable for doctrine. I mean, you got to know what you believe. The Word of God, he gives you what you ought to believe, what the doctrine should be of the church. Are you following me? And then we have so many denominations that have different doctrines because they're understanding of the non-essentials. Follow me. The essentials. Can I just go over the basics? The essentials of faith in Christ Jesus. I'm a sinner. Christ died for my sin because he loved me, not because I was good. And I need to receive what he did on that cross at Calvary, and then I'll be saved. And now because I'm saved, I try to live like I know I'm saved. I don't do the right things to get me right with God. I do the right things because I am right with God because of what he did. That's essential. You know what's not essential? How you baptize folks. Not essential. Some say, well, you need to baptize them in full water. Some say, well, just sprinkle a little water over them. And then was it? I mean, you have denominational difference. The denominations will spring up out of ideas just like that. Oh, we baptize it. How do you baptize it? In full immersion. Oh, you're not doing it right. What? Oh, you got to be baptized in the water, but it got to be in the church. What?
It got to be in the church. That's not what they said to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, where's some water? Wherever there's some water, jump on in. But then some say, well, but baptism is your salvation. No, it's not. The thief on the cross was not baptized. I didn't see him come down off the cross. He said, Lord, I need to be saved. Jesus said, don't worry. Today you will be with me in paradise. They didn't say, hold up a minute. Let's get down off this cross for a second. There's some water over there. It didn't come. No, he said, no, he received salvation. Baptism is just an outward sign of an inward confession. I'm saved on the inside, so now I'm doing something on the outside so that all y'all can know that I'm saved. Because I need you all to hold me accountable for this declaration that I'm making. That's what it is. It's letting the whole church know, the whole church world know that, hey, I'm one of you now, so you have the right. Dare you the audacity to judge me when you see me doing something wrong. I'm giving you permission to get in my business to a certain degree when it comes to how I'm walking with the Lord. So that next time you see me doing something, I can't jump on you because you tell, hey, brother, you might want to consider that. Oh, don't judge me. No, brother, I'm giving you the word of God. The Bible tells me to point out sin. We don't conceal the sin. You point it out. You go to your brothers, your sisters, say, hey, your walk is a little shaky right now, brother. I'm here to build you up and to help you get back in line with God. You understand what I'm saying? So there's some things that are non-essential that we make essential, and then it causes division and a rift. Because remember, the great multitudes, the devil comes to church too. And he knows where he can get you hung up on. You hung up on stuff, and he'll have that stuff hanging on you. Are you following me? And it'll come all out of you. So you have to be careful about what's non-essential. The essential is that the only way to God is through Christ Jesus. The only way. Listen, it must be said because, see, there's a lot of confusion these days. We got this thing called Chrislam. You ever heard this? Look it up on the internet. It's called Chrislam. They're trying to mix Christianity and Islam. Foolishness. You can't mix Christianity with Islam. They don't mix. They didn't mix when they first tried it. It ain't going to mix 2,000, 4,000 years later. It's never going to mix. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. He's not a good teacher. He's not a prophet. He's not just a rabbi. He is God himself. The Word became flesh. John 1, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hold up. And the Word was God. We can't go adding to that. Tell your JW friends. That's a Jehovah's Witness. So you can't add to that. So they put a little A in there. See, that's why you got to understand. You got to know your Word. You got to understand. See, they come to your door, and they have a different Bible, and their Bible says a little, they twist a couple of things. So when we read John 1 and 1 out of their Bible, so when they come to your door, don't say, hold up, let me get my Bible. Hold up, I'll be with you in 1 second. Let me get my Bible, see what my Bible says, because your Bible, I don't know. We don't know who wrote your Bible. Can you tell me where your Bible comes from? Where's the publishing house that produces it? They don't tell you. Don't know. It's a secret. They don't know. They don't even know. You understand? The one that's at your door, they don't even know. They know a lot of stuff, but they don't know that. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. There it says, and the Word was a God. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. My Bible says, wait a minute, yours says a God. Well, I turned back in my Bible. I came from the text is somewhere in Psalms. It said, there is no God but one. So it wasn't a God. So even if he's a God, then he's the one God. Oh, come on now. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't mix the stuff. It doesn't mix. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way. Now, that's essential to your faith. That's what we don't waver on that. Christ is the only way to get. You can't serve Buddha. You can't serve Muhammad. You can't serve any other God but one. Last week, we talked about bringing no gods before me. God said, don't even bring any of your gods into my presence. Moses, take your shoes off. Take off those new Jordans. Because that's your God. See, for some folks, that's their God. They got every pair of Air Jordan. I used to be one of them. When I played ball, I was the first one at Foot Locker. I knew the Foot Locker man by name. Hey, brother, when those new Jordans coming out? We call them J's, right, Jayshon? When the new J's coming out? Set me aside a pair. Here go a little $20. Set me aside a pair so I could be the first one with the new J's. And every time they came out, I was the first one with the new J's. But I got to tell you, I wasn't the one that just wore them to look good. I actually played in them. Folks are like, why are you wearing those? Because I paid $150 for them. I want to play. They're going to make me jump higher. They're going to make me run faster, move quicker. I want my whole $150 worth. Some dudes come to the gym. They Jordan down. They got Jordan everything. They got Jordan wristband, Jordan headband, Jordan socks, Jordan underwear. They got Jordan everything. They got everything Jordan but Jordan's game. Some of you play ball, you know what I'm talking about. Dude out to the park, he's got all geared up. Nobody picks him because they know he can't play. Too much stuff. He can't play. But see, we can make that our God. We can make that stuff our God. God said, don't bring any gods before me. That's essential to the faith. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and when you look at Genesis chapter 1, we see that God spoke everything to existence. Are you following me? So by His Word, He brought forth creation. Help me out now. Nothing that was created outside of Christ Jesus. He is the manifestation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John chapter 1, verse 14, I believe. The Word, God's actual Word, became flesh. Means Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God's Word. Follow me now. If God is His Word, and His Word is Him, His Word is Christ Jesus, and He's called the sower who's scattering seed, the seed being His Word, follow me. The sower, God, is scattering the seed, Jesus Christ, so that He can sow it into our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. See the Trinity at work right there? The sower, God, the seed, His Word, Jesus Christ, but He wants to sow it inside of us. That's the Holy Spirit. Yes. You follow me? The Holy Spirit is when we allow Christ or God to come inside of us. It's that element or that portion of God that comes inside of us and lives through us. That's the Holy Spirit. Some of us aren't experiencing the abundance that God promised simply because we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We got His Word, content, but we don't have His Spirit, conviction. I'll say it again. We have His Word. We have the content of His Word. Oh, I know the Bible. I read the Bible. Oh, I know what it says. That's content. But does the content cause you conviction? Does it cause some correction in your life? That's called conviction. That's the Holy Spirit. See, you can have all His Word if you want to. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, those that are perishing, they don't understand the Word of God because these things are spiritually discerned. That means you got to have a deeper understanding of the things of God that only comes by the Holy Spirit. You can't come by just by opening the book and just reading. Oh, I read all that. Because all it's going to do is sounds good. Okay, that's Oh, that makes sense. Do unto others as it, okay, I like that. I like this. You can take bits and pieces and plug together and put together your own theological system based upon the scriptures that you like. But then when you hear those words that are convicting that tells you that you need to stop cussing, I don't know about that. This is what we say. Well, God ain't through with me yet. It's foolishness. Has He started? Everybody that uses that excuse, well, God ain't doing me yet. They look like God hadn't even started. But my Bible says, he that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Are you following me? So there's some steps to start being completed in your life if the Spirit of God is working in you. Because there's places you can't go when you have the Spirit of God working in you. The Spirit of God is going to say, man, you don't need to go in that liquor store. You're going down the wrong aisle of the grocery market, brother. Just stay on the outsides. You know when you go down that aisle, it's going to tempt you to buy some stuff. You understand? That's what the Holy Spirit does. You can't just go on doing those things and feel good about it. You can't post certain things on Facebook. You can't Instagram certain pictures and certain things on your social networks without the Spirit of God saying, hold up, wait a minute, let's just put some Jesus in it. You understand? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, hold up, wait a minute, let us put some Jesus in it. Because that's not working. That's a bad testimony of who Christ is. Because I read your profile. Your profile said that you were a Christian. So when I see you cussing folks out on Facebook page, that's not a good testimony of your Christianity. It's going to say, hold up, man, I don't want to post that. Anybody did that? You know, any social networkers out there other than myself, anybody, Twitter accounts, Facebook, come on, you can admit it. I know some of you all, because some of y'all are my friends. But you ever get to start writing something, and then you look at it, you're like, nah, I ain't going to put nah, can't put that. What was I thinking? Sometimes you look at it and say, wow, woo, I must have been on one right there. I was tripping. He puts delete. You know, you got to do that sometimes. That's the blessing. Blessing. That's a blessing of the Lord. The back button, backspace. Doop, 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 doop. But it feels good because at least you got to write it out. You type it out. You get to read it. And that gives you a little lift. You can get it off your chest, so to speak. But don't send it. You understand? See, some stuff we can think, but don't say it. Don't send it. You can pause it. I said, you know, don't see, think before you send, Jay Sean. I'm talking to Jay Sean this morning. He's over there laughing. So we are the soil. God is the seed is his word, but we are his soil. God wants to plant his seed inside of our hearts. Look what Jesus says to them. They come to Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus afterwards. And they say, Lord, what's with this? Why do you use this teaching style? What's with all these parables that you use? And Jesus explains to them, he says, listen, they don't understand. They don't know me like you do. They don't understand the word of God the way that you should know, understand the word of God. I have to speak to them on one level, whereas I can speak to you on another level. Because you are a certified disciple, a certified follower of me. So you should have a deeper level of understanding of the word of God. Paul said it like this. You have to move from being on the milk to start to get on the meat. Some folks are there and they're just on milk. They can just understand the basic things. But it's the basic things that open up the door to the deeper things. When you're out there evangelizing, you're out there trying to tell someone about Christ, then, you know, there's a certain level that you can speak on that they just won't understand the depth of it until they get past step one and step two, step three. And then he talks about what type of soil. He said there's one type of soil that's fell by the wayside. Basically, that fell on the concrete. Now, you know, it's on the concrete. There's no dirt. There's nothing to fertilize. There's no covering. There's nothing. It's just simply the word just going out. It's those Facebook posts, you know, those pictures. It may have a little scripture on there, and then people share. They like what they said, and they share, and it's a godly thing. They say, oh, that's good. They like it, but they keep moving on. You know, it was, oh, that sounds good, but they keep moving on. You know, it didn't plant any roots because there's no roots to plant. They, you know, people, these are the people that say, you know, Jesus was a good person. I like him. I like Jesus. I just don't like the church. You know, I like Jesus, but I'm not trying to be a Christian. But Jesus was an okay guy. He fed all those people. He did some nice things and everything. That's the basic level. That's the surface level. It's just on the surface. It doesn't plant. But then he said there are some that fell on thorny ground. Look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said here. He said, this is he who received the seed by the wayside. But verse 20, he said, but he who received the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now this is your average churchgoer. Not in this church, but in other churches. But this is your average churchgoer. They come, they sing the songs. Ooh, yes. Say they received the word with joy. Oh, that was a good word. Yes, that was a great word. I love it. Woo, woo. Everything's good. Everything's all the way. They go out dancing, leaping, jumping, singing. They're into everything. It's good. Yes, 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 yes. And, but then they go to the parking lot and somebody cuts them off. You, blah, blah, blah. They ain't even make it out the parking lot. Or they get to work the next day and they're having lunch with their coworkers and their coworkers aren't saved and their coworkers having conversations and they're talking about different things and they jump right into the conversation with them, kind of like Paul, when Paul called Peter out. The Bible's good stuff, man. Call Peter out because Peter was getting in a little click. And Peter, you know, this is after Peter gave this big sermon and he was getting a little kick. Paul said, Paul called him out. So this is what we do. We heard the word, it was good. But then when we go out into the world, we're scared to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it might offend somebody. Can I help you out? The word of God will offend people. Why do you think they put Jesus on the cross? Jesus is offensive. He is. Jesus is offensive. He said it himself. He said, I did not come. He said, I came to divide. Don't read past that. Jesus said, I came to divide. I said, I need the real believers. I need to divide them from the fake believers. Because even after this parable, he said, the wheat and the tares come up together. I need to separate to know who I'm working with. You understand? So don't be scared that the word of God, I promise, is going to offend some folks if they're not living right. It's going to be offensive. You think they liked it when Jesus went into the temple, the church, and overturned the tables? That was offensive. Man, that's my money. You didn't think they wanted to jump on Jesus right then? Man, he turned over the tables, all the stuff on the floor. Who going to clean this up? Jesus? Jesus was offensive. The word of God is offensive to who? To sinners. See, folks just want to hear the good stuff. When you start talking about sin, they tune you out. They don't want to hear that. But as long as you're talking about the good stuff, oh, I'm too blessed to be sure. Ooh, I like that. I'm the head and not the tail. Ooh, yes. That's good. I've given your hands power to get wealth. Woo! Woo! Give me some of that wealth. Oh, that you would prosper and be in good health and be woo! Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But you gotta fix that sin. You're like, They start looking down at their cell phones. Then it's one of those ouch moments. Ouch. So we got a term. You guys hear it first time. We got a term we use at Relevant Church called ouch. That's when I say something that you don't like, but it's true. You won't say amen, but it kind of hurts, so we just say ouch. That's church, that's Relevant Church vernacular. Hey, ouch. Mad at pastor what he's saying, but it's true. So I just got to roll with it. So just hey, ouch. Some fell by the wayside. That's the ones who, their hearts aren't softened yet. They're not ready. Remember we talked about the keys to evangelism of how you have to check the temperature of the folks that you're speaking to? Are you just going to be frustrated? Because some folks aren't ready. And that's the most honest answer I ever got from somebody. One of my buddies said, man, I just ain't ready. I said, man, I have to respect that. He said, I understand what you're saying is true. I believe what you're saying, but I'm just not ready. In other words, he's saying, man, I'm still trying to do my thing, trying to get in where I fit in and do it till the wheels fall off. And then I said, brother, but you may not have time to get it right. Because your life is but a vapor. You don't know. It could be snatched from you in a twinkling of an eye. You don't know if you're going to have a chance to get it right. You know? But some folks just aren't ready. Some folks, they don't want answers. They want arguments. They just want to argue with you. That's why everything you say to them, they never answer any of your questions, but they want you to answer all their questions. Why is so much hurt in the world? Blah, 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 blah. You give them an answer, and then they go ask you another question. They don't respond to the answer you gave them. You say, why is there so much hurt in the world? Well, because the earth is in a fallen state since the book of Genesis, and there's evil in the world, and Satan is the kingdom, and there's bad things that just happen. The Bible says that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. That means that good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. That's just the way of the world. But when we suffer, when we mourn, we don't mourn as those that have no hope. We mourn of those that have hope. Now, what you want to do with the hope? Well, what about all these diseases? They never answer your question. Come on, Father. Come on, That's giving you a signal that they aren't listening. They just want to pose all of these questions to you because they want to argue with you because inside themselves they're feeling the conviction, but that conviction is drawing them away from God instead of drawing them to God because they're feeling condemnation. Are you following me? So you have to check the temperature. And as soon as you ask a couple questions and you get that, say, oh, he ain't ready. Put him back in the oven. And we go to our prayer, we go back to our prayer closet, keep the Lord soften their hearts. Lord, use that conversation to touch their hearts. Lord, you said that one plants, one waters, but it's you that give the increase. Lord, I'm asking for your increase in their lives. So some folks you have to know, and these are the stages you have to look at. Are you just one who wants to argue with the Word of God? Are you really open and receptive to what's being said? And you ask them a question, say, hey, man, if I could give you something that could explain the whole thing, would you even consider the information? If I do give you an answer, would you even consider it? Then if they say, yeah, okay, well, now we can have a discussion. But a lot of times they say, huh, I don't think so. You know, I wasn't prepared for that. Are you following me? So he said, look, there's some that fell by the wayside, and then there were some that fell on stony places. This is a shallow area where there's not really an ability. There's just a little dirt there. There's not the ability to establish any root. There's some stuff on the surface. They look good on the outside, but bad on the inside. Are you following me? Amen. They're dressed up, but they're messed up. Amen. That kind of stuff. You know, they're about the container, not the contents. I have any other idioms I could use for that one? I can't think of any more. But that's what it is. But then it says some fell among thorns. Amen. It says that, but those who, excuse me, verse 22 says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but then the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Yeah. Yeah. These are our seasoned saints. We hear the word, we receive it, but then we allow our circumstances to get in the way. Lord, I believe I'm healed, but I'm sick. I believe that healing is the children's bread, but I'm sick. This hurt, that hurt, and the other hurts. You understand? You know the word of God. You know the word of God, but your circumstances could cloud what you know. This is also the one who probably knows more than they should know. They know more than they think they know. They get full of themselves. The Bible said, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. This is when pride starts. This is the one where the pride, oh, I know the word of God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need no pastor telling me. I read the Bible for myself. But you think that Saul of Tarsus is Saul, the king of Israel in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. You don't even know the difference. You understand? Because the Bible said that God gave us some apostles, some prophets, some teachers and pastors to equip us to understand the word of God more fully. The Bible said that the word of God is not a private interpretation. I don't need to go to church. I can do my own thing. Really? My Bible said don't forsake the assembly of yourselves. The Bible, God has made us to operate together. We are the members of the body of Christ. And we all have significance. And we all work together for the fulfillment of the kingdom. Amen? So that's what that person is. They're among thorns. The cares of the world get to them. Oh, if I pay my tithe, then I won't be able to pay my light bill. You understand? I can't afford to tithe. No, baby, you can't afford not to bless the God. Because if you believe what the Word of God says, God said, I can do more with your 90% than you'll ever do with the 100%. You keep doing what you're doing, you'll be broke all the time. Start honoring me with what I give. Start honoring me. If you believe I gave it to you, then honor me with it. And then I promise you that I will bless you because of it. Are you folks? Yeah, your lights may get cut off. Your lights may be cut off, but you don't want your light to get cut off. You understand? Lord said, I got some candles for you. You watch too much TV anyway. You understand? You know, there's a great portion. I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a great portion of our world who still does not have electricity. They doing all right. Ouch. Hey, ouch. You understand? We get good, but when it comes to our money, Jay Sean, we start acting real funny. Because the Bible said where our treasure is, our heart is also. You want to know what's important to a person? Look at the checkbook and the calendar. What you got scheduled on your calendar? Where are the places that you're going? Your checkbook, where are you spending your money on? Maybe you're tied right there. It's at Target. It's at Starbucks. There it is, those coffees that you need. I've been on a coffee trip all week, man. I owe the women's ministry about $21. All the iced coffee, I'm talking about the Cordillera Cafe over there, the iced coffees, I've just been downing them, like, because they're there. You know, I need to show some restraint. Say, show some self-control, Pastor Chuck. But it's for the women's ministry. I'm helping them raise money. Amen? But among us, so we allow our situation. Listen. I speak about the tithe and offering, and see, and here are the things. Essential, non-essential. I'm going to mess you guys up right now. Can I mess you up for a minute? Yeah. I listen to Christian radio, a lot of Christian talk shows, call-in radios, big call-in questions. One of the main questions that they always ask is, are we obligated to the tithe? We're New Testament Christians. Are we obligated to the tithe? Are we obligated to the tithe? Let's consider the tithe. Where did it come from? Came from Abraham. Mm-hmm. Right? Where did the law come from? Came from Moses. Who lived first, Abraham or Moses? Abraham, right? The Bible said after Abraham came from defeating those kings, he stopped and gave Melchizedek a tithe of everything, of the spoils that he had. That was before the law. When Moses came, Moses introduces the law to the Israelites. So before the law, Abraham was tithing. Nobody had to tell him to tithe. Well, should it be 10%? Oh, maybe. Reading the New Testament, it said, let each one give as his heart gives. But Paul says, but excel. Amen. Oh, I'm messing you up right now. He said, excel at giving. So 10% is a good starting point, but I want you to excel at giving. But here's the essential thing of it all. See, and pastors will never say these types of things. I'm messing up everything. But I'm going to say it because the Word of God says it. Here's the thing. 1 Corinthians, look in your envelope. You got an envelope for the service today? We put envelopes. Anybody got a tithe envelope? Oh, you guys already put them in the basket? There's something that we put in our envelopes right there. Because when you look at it, I want you to read that every time you say it. Look what it says according to 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. It says, every man according as he purposes his heart. According as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's how you give. Whether it's 2%, 5%, 20%, 50%, whatever cent you want to give, according to the purposes in your heart, you give. But do it cheerfully. Amen. Listen, we don't even accept tearful offerings at Relevant Church. If you're going to cry as you bring your money to the basket, then go ahead and keep it. You're going to contaminate the rest of our blessing. Some people, you tearful giving or you fearful giving. Oh, I'm scared. No, keep your stuff. It'd be like $2 or $2. Woo. Like you was giving big money. You cry. Man, it's $2. But guess what? The widow gave the two bits. The Bible says she gave more than everybody because she gave out of her heart. That's what kind of blessing. You put $1 in here, but you're giving it out of your heart, then that's worth more than $1,000 in the basket here at Relevant Church. Because you've given it out of your heart, out of your love of God. That's essential. It's not essential. The percentage, it's not essential. That's a place where we can start, but it's not essential. Oh, you got to give, you have to give 10%, or God is going to curse you. No, he's not. He's going to bless you according to the way you bless him. That's what he said, and I don't know about you. What should you tithe? This is one, too. Should you tithe off the gross or the net? Some folks get real serious about it. Should you tithe off the gross or the net? Depend on how big you want your net to be. Depends on how big you want your net to be. So when you go fishing, what kind of net you want to fish with? You want to fish with a big net or a little net? You want God to give you just enough, or you want him to give to you tearfully? You see how it works? How you want God to bless you? That's how you get to him. The way you want him to bless you, that's how you should bless him. That's how it works. When God says, see when I open up the windows and pour out a blessing that you won't have room for, I want that. I want that. I want that. I take two of those. Lord, I want to bless you as much as I can bless you. If it's 5%, whatever. If it's 10%, whatever I can do. I'm not counting it. I'm not counting it. Well, let's see. I got to do. You break out a calculator to do your tithe. My thing, I'll just round up. Whatever it is, just round up. Because I want God to round up. Hey, I want it. So I can just round up all my blessings. Look what the Lord is blessing me with. I got a good home. I got a good wife. My children are manifold. All these things are working. The car is still running. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I want to round up all of God's blessings in my life. I don't want to miss nothing because I'm trying to be stingy. I'm trying to be legalistic. I'm trying to hold on to what I have. Because guess what? You have that kind of spirit? Well, God said the devourer will not be rebuked. So he's going to get it one way or another. He's going to get it one way or another. You're not going to be able to keep it. Amen? So you need to lay up treasures up there, not down here. Oh, my, my, my. Listen, we're talking about the sower. That's the soil, the seed, and then there's the sower, the seed, and the soil. Listen to these. We're talking about gardening, obviously. And let me run through these quotes that I found about gardening. Lou Erickson said that gardening requires lots of water, most of it in the form of perspiration. Another unknown author said gardening is a matter of your enthusiasm holding you up until your back can get used to it. George Bernard Shaw said the best place to see God is in a garden. You can dig for him there. That was from The Adventures of a Black Girl in Search of God. And then another unknown author said, you can bury a lot of troubles digging in the dirt. Listen, friends, the deeper we get into his word, the deeper his word gets into us. Matthew 13:12 said, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. The deeper we get into his word, the deeper his word gets into us. The more we know about God's word, the more we know how to live and conduct our lives. Amen? God, you cannot draw from an empty well. There has to be something to work with. And I say it all the time, nothing times nothing is nothing. You got to give God, God is a multiplier. So that means you got to give him something to work with. You give him anything multiplied by zero, math whizzes, multiply anything by zero, what you get, Jay Sean? Zero. You multiply anything times one, you just get that value back, right? One times one is one, two times one is one, you know what I mean? But when you start to give God more, you start giving him two. Now two times two, we got four. Four times four, we got 16. 16 times, whoo! I don't even know what 16 times 16 is, but man, you get off into some serious stuff. God is a multiplier. That means the more we get into his word, the more his word gets into us, and stuff starts to multiply in us because we're in his word. Are you following? The blessings get magnified. Listen. The word of God, young men, young people, look what Psalm 119 says. How can a young man, a young woman, cleanse his or her way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you, and let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, that's the power of the seed. But the determination on how well the seed begins to blossom into a plant depends on what type of soil it's in. What he's talking about, friends, is the soil is the condition of our hearts. The soil is the condition of our hearts. Where are your hearts at today? Where are our hearts at today? Are our hearts on that hardened surface that can't receive the God? The Word of God just comes and just bounces right off of us? Is our heart set in stony places where we in it a little bit? We in the water a little bit. We get our feet wet, but we're not all the way in. We're not into the deep. Are we deeper in where we're in the are we among the thorns where we're getting a good appetite of the word but are we letting other stuff prevent us from enjoying the fullness of what God says in his word? That means, Lord, I believe I'm healed, so I'm standing in my healing. Lord, I believe I'm blessed, so I'm going to behave like a blessed person should. And what you see on the outside is not necessarily a reflection of what's going on in the inside. I may look sick, but on the inside I have joy. On the inside I have peace. You know, you ever watched two people go through the same things in totally different ways? One person gets a report from the doctor that they have cancer, and they're ready to sign over everything. They're ready to put all their affairs in order. The doctor said, you're not going to live. I'm not going to live for 2 months. My life is over, so it's just over with. I don't know what I'm going to do. Another person gets the same reports. He said, I'm standing on the word of God, and I'm not taking the bad report. See what God says, I'm healed, I believe I'm healed, and guess what? Even if I die, then guess what? I'm just transitioning on to be with the Lord because he is my strength. Are you following me? So I'm still going to live a godly life no matter what. I have a buddy, a close friend of mine called me this weekend and said his wife wants to divorce him. This is a close friend of mine. His wife wants to divorce him for no reason. She's just tired of being married. Friends, a lot of that going on. It's not the first person that I heard. A lot of that's going on where women are saying that I'm tired of being married. I don't understand it. You know, I see a lot of single women in the church that's like, man, I want to be married. And you got a good guy. But he said, man, I just want you to pray for me, but I already know that's in God's hands. I said, look here, man. I said, I just talked about it a couple weeks ago at church. I said, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Keep doing what you know to do. He said, I got that, Pastor. He said, I got that. I keep doing what I know to do. He said, I'm not going to stop praising God. I'm not going to stop praying for my wife. I'm not going to stop going to church. I'm going to worship God even more. The devil can't have it. This is what he's telling me. You understand? See, that's the kind of joy you have to have. That's the kind of sufficiency that you can find only when you're in Christ, when you're all in too deep. See, if you're not in deep enough, you'll fall apart. If you're not in deep enough, you say, man, God ain't doing nothing for me. I'm going to go out. She want to go out. I'm going to go out too. You could go all kind of places when you're not deep enough. Are you following? But when you're in too deep, you say, man, I'm in too deep to give up. I'm in too deep to stop swimming. Come on now. You can't stop swimming in the deep end, Brother Jay Shaw. Once you get in the deep end, you got to keep swimming, buddy. You understand? When you get in deep, you got to, come on, this is a high dive reference. Where are my Pasadena folks? I think I had some Pasadena folks over there. Remember Brookside Park, the high dive? Once you get on the high dive, they have Olympic quality pool. You get on the high dive don't go to the deep, to the shallow end, it goes to the deep end. And what you learn as a young person, what you learn is when you get in the deep end, you can't stop swimming. You ain't got no choice but to keep on swimming. Keep on stroking. I know it seems far away, but boy, you better keep on swimming because you're in too deep to stop swimming. Listen, once you go, ain't no turning back. No turning back. That's why we sing the song, no turning back. We sing it all the time. No turning back. I come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm in too deep to give up on God. I'm in too deep to stop praying. I'm in too deep to stop praising his holy name. I'm in too deep. I'm in too deep. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in too deep. Come with me. Woo!
Because the deep end is where the blessing is.